97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty live here at good friends, Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. We're in the Murray location, about 5700 South State. Come by, hang out with us. We got all the jazz gear, shirts, hats, tickets. Come by, let's make it happen.
Loving Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. These are my guys. Known them for many years. Scotty, you've heard me. I've really been encouraging our listeners to get in and meet the managers. And that makes a difference because you've got a guy that's been trained to work with our listeners. I've met each of the managers in every one of the six locations. They know me. They know our listener. They're waiting for you to come in and ask them about the we pay half, you pay half.
Yeah.
Or any of the other great promotions that we have running. The $2,000 over Kelly Blue Book. You know, these are all great things that are offered only to our listeners. So we want you to take advantage of it. Get into one of the dealerships and talk to them. If you need a new used car throughout the rest of the summer, maybe you're getting ready for the new high school season, kid just got a vehicle or a driver's license and you need a vehicle for him, come into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket and let them take care of the family. They're the best.
Real simple. And again, we want you to stop by and hang out with us here in Murray, 5700 South State. All right. College football, really, you know, and I mentioned Big 12 having their media day going on today, and their commissioner came up today and said, well, it's official, summer's over, football begins today. And you know what? He's not wrong. When those media days kick off next week and we'll have Mountain West Conference coverage, we'll have Pac-12 conference coverage. And remember, Pac-12 happens on the 24th. So you may have the day off, but we will have all the coverage for you all day long on the 24th of July.
9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah, just about. I mean, we blow it up.
Yeah, we're on air all day.
So and then after that, we're about a week or so away from camps getting going, and it's here. Like, it's really, it's time to go. We're about 6 weeks away from the start of college football season. And I cannot be more excited. And, look, I don't know where you stand on the whole first game of the year, but I just think it has another level of it adds another level of anticipation to the season.
It's the best.
I think it was really well done. And, frankly, I know coaches probably aren't huge fans of it, but I think for the state, if we're going to play this game, I like it being the first game of the year. I like it a lot more than the last game of the year. Wasn't a fan of what happened last year.
I think this first game out of the gates is primary positioning. Who is it that does that? Is it Colorado State that's done it first game of the year for years?
I don't know if they do it first game of the year. They might. I'm not sure.
I know there's a couple of
I remember
traditionally where you get the rivalry game on a Saturday.
There were a couple of years where Miami played Florida the first game of the year. Like, there's always kind of those games like, all right, interesting.
To me, it's just such a classic way to kick off. I'm really excited about the game. I think that Utah players and Utah coaches are geared up and the hype is real. They're going to see themselves in the top 25 preseason poll. And you're seeing a ton of Utah football players' names mentioned in watch lists, and you've got You've got multiple preseason Pac-12 performers that are going to be on this team, and you've got potentially three or four first, maybe second round picks on this team. Jalen Johnson is going to be a first round pick. Bradley and I probably a top two, maybe top three round pick. So you've got multiple big-time picks on this team. You got a coaching staff that's been together for years, and the hype is real. Now, what's crazy is that hype gets tested right out of the gates. You don't get a warm-up game. You've got Andy Ludwig coming in as the new offensive coordinator, and Andy's done a great job with Kyle Whittingham in the past. He's going to try to keep things similar. He's working hand-in-hand with Jim Harding, and from what I understand, those two are getting along really well. Harding is trying to keep the verbiage the same. He has been the consistent up front. That offensive line right now needs consistency. And this is a team with plenty of hype that's coming into a game that has a lot of losing potential and not a lot of winning potential. And I'm not saying the game.
Yeah.
I'm saying what's on the line. Utah doesn't stand to win a lot.
But boy, they can lose a lot.
But they could lose a ton. BYU stands to win everything. And that's always a bad formula.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the way that I want to be. That's not the way I want to start a season out. I don't want to start a season in a very little win situation.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing.
What does Utah get out of this win?
I guess it depends on what BYU does for the remainder of the season, but overall, not much, right out of the gate, not much. I mean, you beat BYU, you beat them 8 years in a row, you should beat them. So, you know, I don't think it's going to move the meter. You know, if Utah is ranked to start the season and they beat BYU, they're not going to jump up 10 spots because it's a monumental win.
Not until BYU. Let's say BYU goes on to beat Tennessee, USC,
yeah,
and Washington.
Then it becomes...
Then there's something there.
Exactly.
But right out of the gates, they just don't stand to win a lot in this game. And if you prepare like that, that could be a problem. Because like I said, on BYU's side, it's all on the line. Everything. Their entire season could be won and lost in game one. It can.
Yeah. And it just certainly takes the luster. I mean, I saw an odds of Utah making the college football playoff at like 10-1. Like, those aren't huge odds.
That's not huge odds.
You know, and so at that point you've got to be either undefeated or a one loss team to be in consideration. So if you lose to BYU, all that's getting flushed down the toilet. There's no way these kids aren't listening to this. There's no way these kids aren't watching this. They are so dialed into what's being said about their team that I can't imagine that they come in flat to start a season.
Well, I know
if
this.
If anything, it might be the other way.
The expectations that these Utah players are holding for each other is extremely high. You know, Bradley and I looking at Zach Moss.
Yeah.
Zach Moss holding Darren Paulo accountable. Darren Paulo looking at the defense saying, all right, you got all the hype. You're ranked as the number two defensive line in the country. In the country, they're ranked as the number two defensive line. You guys are ranked as the top five corner base in the country. So now I'm holding you accountable. You're holding my five offensive line position accountable. These guys have leveraged each other.
Yeah.
A lot of veteran leaders on here. A lot of guys are doing everything they can to get draft recognition. It's just kind of the perfect storm of high-level competition, but also high-level pressure. Very high-level pressure. Hey, Zach, don't let this guy take any more gear. Yeah. It's the same guy every day.
Yeah, he's a recurring dude.
Same dude every time. If you've been in within the last month, let's leave it to other people, huh?
I'm just, like, I don't even remember him.
Really? Well, here's the deal, Scotty. It's all on the line for Utah. BYU just doesn't have a ton to lose here. And that always creates a really interesting game. Now, I think Utah still wins this game. At least the personnel, the paper of it, shows that they still win this game. But the scenario, the setup, it sets up perfectly for BYU.
Well, and that's what I think is so in play here, because you got two fan bases that don't particularly like each other very much. You got two teams that don't like each other very much. And then you now have a situation where there's so much in play, because you got BYU's looking at this game like, hey, we were up, what was it, 20-0, 21-0? We had you down. We were up 27-7. We had you down. And we let you off the hook.
Yeah.
Sorry, Denny Green, wherever you're at.
And we let him off the hook.
And so you got BYU coming in with a little confidence like, yeah, you know what? You didn't win that game. We gave it to you. And you got Utah fans who've been hearing BYU play, or you got Utah players who, you know, whether it was really that antagonistic or not, they're getting messages blaring in, you know, in their ears about how Zach Wilson's like, oh, I'm going to go 3-1 against them. I gave one. I'm going to go 3-1. You don't think that's going unnoticed? Of course not.
Yeah, they're taking recognition of that. And the other thing I'd say about this game being played first game of the year, and I mentioned what this does to you in the offseason, this last 4 or 5 week push for players, and everybody's like, well, you can't motivate them more than just being a college athlete. Yeah, you can. I would prepare differently, 100%. I would prepare differently if I was playing Weber State out of the gates as compared to playing Utah out of the gates as a BYU player.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I would prepare differently playing Utah out of the gates than if I was playing, I don't know, Virginia out of the gates, yeah. Arizona out of the gates. I'm preparing differently.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you prepare differently? Let's say BYU is the same opponent. Do you prepare differently for BYU after Zach Wilson said he plans on going 3-1?
1,000%.
Against you as opposed to BYU, and it was just nobody said anything down there.
I don't care what anybody says. If I'm Bradley and I, if I'm Leckie Fotu, even if I'm Manny Bowen, kid that came out of Penn State,
yeah.
I've got some understanding.
It probably
of
doesn't
rivalry.
Take long for him to figure out what's going on there.
I promise you that gets you. That gets you in your gut. And that pushes you. It makes you clench your jaw a little bit harder. It makes you push just one or two more reps. It makes you think about, man, when I get to him, or when I get a shot at him, if I find Isaiah Kafusi, because Isaiah Kafusi was talking about it too.
Yeah.
If I find Isaiah Kafusi and I'm on a pull out, I'm an offensive guard that pulls out on some type of fly sweep, and Isaiah's scraping to make the play, and I get a lick on that number. I don't care what anybody tells me, and I always get negative feedback on this. Oh, Hinch, you can't find more motivation than just playing in the rivalry game. No, when I get somebody who's crap talking me, I will find their number. I will make them pay. I will. Even if it is in a BYU media day or if it's at Pac-12 media day. Bradley and I think, is coming. I think Zach Moss and Bradley and I, Pac-12 media day.
I haven't seen the list. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I think it's those two. Yeah. Let's say those guys go on a talking spree, which they won't. Because I'm pretty sure those coaches have every one of those players under the thumb saying, shut your mouth. Nobody's talking. Nobody's saying a word. They ask about the BYU game. Have you heard any talk coming out of that?
No. Nope.
And Pac-12 media day with the first roll, and then maybe we'll get some through the 3 weeks of camp. Maybe Utah players will slip one here or there. But BYU media day was all about BYU beating Utah.
It was a heavy tone, for sure.
If Zach Moss...
But it was our fault because we asked about it.
If I was a BYU defensive tackle and Zach Moss said, nah, it's number eight's come, number nine. Number nine's coming. It'll be number nine, right?
This will be nine.
Number nine's coming. As a defensive tackle, BYU, I'm putting it down. I'm like, I'm going to make sure that Zach Moss feels some type of pain based off of what he just said. So, yeah, Scotty, it does make a difference. Always has, always will. Anybody that says different, especially in a rivalry situation.
That's the key.
It's a rivalry situation.
Yeah. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. This segment brought to you in part by Action Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning. They're looking for skilled HVAC technicians, plumbers, and electricians to join the Action Superhero team. You got paid training, health and dental benefits, a 401k match. Call today and join the Action Plumbing Superhero team, 801-833-3333. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hey, guess what? Kicking up on Thursday. Where does the Open rank with you, the British?
Probably fourth.
See, to me, it's above the PGA Championship, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And now the PGA Championship's a little early.
Yeah, where it's
moved. It might
moved,
be fourth.
There's still a little excitement. I'm going to say it's fourth for me.
Well, we're still celebrating with the UNA Golf Major Giveaway. In fact, right now, be caller number 12 and see who your player is going to be for the fourth major of the season. So it's simple. All you have to do is call right now, 855-340-ZONE. Be caller number 12. Lloyd will assign you a golfer. If your golfer ends up being the player who ends up winning the British, you will win any golf bag UNA Golf has in stock. Color, brand, style, it's all up to you. Any bag they have, you can go out and pick it. It's all brought to you by UNA Golf, serving Utah golfers since 1971, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Tony Parks and Austin Horton.
I heard tale over the weekend that someone used you as an example in their Sunday school class.
Uh-oh. Could be bad.
Just knowing that, do you think they used you as a example of what to do or what not to do? Because I assumed when they said that, I was like, oh man, what lesson were they talking about and what did Tony do wrong?
Whatever it was don't be this guy.
See, we've got so many examples. That's why I jumped to the conclusion that they were saying this is an example of what not to do, what not to be. But I will tell you, they actually said they used you as an example in how to forgive really quickly.
Oh.
Lesson learned, people see you differently than I know you actually to be.
Tony Parks and Austin Horton, weekdays from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Welcome back, 97.5, 12 to the Zone, live at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. My boys, my people, Travis Johnson, Doug down at the Sandy location, Doug and Mike down at the Sandy location. Got Darren and those guys, Chuck and those guys at the Trucks and Imports. I love these guys, man. All of them. And we're here at the Murray location. Easy to find us, just off State Street. The exact address, I believe, is 5701. 5701, isn't it? 5701.
There you go. Real easy.
5701 State Street. Come on in and you can see us, find us, and take any of this jazz gear off the table. We got plenty of it. We've got some tickets to go to USANA to any one of the concerts, or at least Shinedown, which is a fantastic band. And we want to show you the We Pay Half, You Pay Half promotion that we have going on here, where you come in, you buy a car. They pay half of your payment for an entire calendar year. That's the real thing, too. The You Pay Half, We Pay Half promotion. Come in and talk to your manager about it.
I like it. That's a killer deal.
It is. It's fantastic.
Take care of it. All right, 134. It's time to make another announcement in our top 60 and 60. We are at 34 as we close in on the halfway point in the 60 and 60. Lloyd, fire it up.
Right now. Right now.
You ready? This is the top 60 and 60.
Oh, yeah!
As the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2019 college football season. And now, it's time for today's selection as voted on by the Utah sports media and you, the fans. Another offensive lineman makes the countdown as we return to Provo with a player that's expected to be an integral part of the Cougar offensive line. Checking in at number 34 from Brigham Young University, 6'6", 295-pound offensive lineman, Brady Christensen. Brigham Young University head coach Kalani Sitake.
Brady Christensen, very athletic, left tackle, great feet, great hips, and he's an aggressive player, and he's done well against some great competition. Looking forward to seeing him. He's a freshman All-American, and I think he's going to have a great sophomore year.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, the Southtown Auto Mall, and Master Electrical Service on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, hands, Brady Christensen from that BYU offensive line coming in at number 34 in the fan vote. He actually finished all the way down at number 53.
Jeez.
And stop it. And finishing at number 34 in the fan vote, Utah State safety Shaq Bond, whose name is not, I don't believe his name has come up yet. So anyway, beside the point.
I think it did, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did. All the way back at 53. Yeah. Oh, man, that was a garbage vote.
Yeah, Shaq Bond came up, I knew, at some point. I think that the media vote is a little bit low, and I'm not going to say a ton low. There's a couple. I've actually got a couple of different thoughts about Brady Christensen. Number one, a freshman All-American.
Yeah.
We've seen freshman All-American rise, have great success, and then just kind of waver some. Like, for instance, T. John Caroma, freshman All-American at BYU.
Absolutely right.
Came on strong, was a solid, consistent performer, then got in trouble with whatever he got in trouble with. Was it an entire year that he was suspended and off the team, and then came back and was consistent, but never really lived up to that potential. Never lived up to
No.
it. He just didn't. You know, and for those of you that are like, well, no, he was a great center. Well, he didn't get to draft level. He didn't even get to camp level.
Yeah.
Like he never
this
hit
this kid
that.
Was on path for something really special.
He was a unique center.
Yeah.
And we never saw him really capitalize. So what I would say is Brady Christensen has all the skill sets to make him an All-American, a consensus All-American. He's 6'6". He's 300 pounds. Like Kalani said, he's got the footwork. He's got the hips. He's got everything. I would probably put him somewhere between 25 and 30 in my vote. I've got him at 22. 25 and 30 is where I'd put him. 20 to 25 is where I'd put him. I like his skill set. I like what he does for BYU.
Do you put?
But it's like you got to now take that. Oh. You know, both him and Impey have to take that next step.
Okay, so in your evaluation, because nobody obviously can evaluate offensive linemen better than you can, in your evaluation of these guys, let's look at Brady here. We knew that who's the guy we just talked about? BYU center
Impey.
No, the
Coroma.
Yeah. We knew that he had a lot of – we could see the potential there, and we knew the steps he could take.
Right.
Do you see the potential with Brady there as
yes,
well?
Yes, more than Tijon.
Really? Okay.
More because he's got the body. Tijon didn't have the height.
That's right.
Tijon had big old pipe guns and arms, but he just didn't have the height to really impress the scouts. Brady is a legit 6'6". Like he is a imposing figure, and he's, I mean, low percentage body fat. It's a great build for an offensive tackle. Passes the eyeball test with flying cuts. And I know people are like, well, pass the eyeball test. He passes the eyeball test, but then you get him on the field, and he's tenacious, mean, and does everything right. As a freshman, he's sitting out on the island taking on some really good ends and did a fantastic job. He's really good in space. You can put him on an island in one-on-one pass blocking. Because of his hand and foot speed, he's able to keep up with a lot of the speed rushers. I would say in areas that he could probably improve, down blocking and backside blocking and some type of power blocking sets. I think he's quick. I think he's really good in open space. I think he's good when he gets out in the field looking for a safety or an outside linebacker pickup on a screen set or a wide sweep. But I would say down blocking, heavy down blocking in combo blocks. But he's going to have a good guard next to him. So, you know, you'll probably see him really excel this year in that as well. I just – there's still something – he's a freshman. He was a freshman. He's going to be a sophomore.
Yeah.
So I'm not willing to put him up in my top 20.
Yeah.
I think 34 is probably a little bit low. A little
but
bit low.
But not far
for,
off.
But not far off. For a freshman All-American, a little bit low.
Yeah.
But not far off. And I think that he's the first of three BYU offensive linemen that are on the 60 and 60.
I don't think we have announced another BYU offensive lineman.
I don't believe we have. And I think that we had three on there.
Yep.
I think Tristan Hodge.
Yep. And James Impey.
James Impey.
Yep. Those are the three. You know, funny thing is, we only have a grand total of five offensive linemen total in the top 60 and 60.
So three from BYU and
one
from
for Utah and one for BYU. Alfred Edwards.
One Utah State.
And Darren Paulo.
Darren Paulo.
We're the only – those are your five offensive linemen.
I'm sure Utah fans are like, what about Umana? Oh, you know, Umana was one of the top – or one of the last five out.
Yeah.
He was close, but he just – they were working on even his position. I don't know if he's going to play center or guard. I think he's actually going to end up at guard. So, Umana was really close, but he got left out.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Tomorrow's player, I think, is going to be a really fascinating player to watch this season.
Oh, I know why he's there. I know why he was ranked that low.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, he'll be in the top 15.
Yeah. Yep, I would agree with that. All right, time for Good, the Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Zero Res here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hands, I watched a lot of this on Saturday. Didn't catch much of it yesterday, but this dude can golf, man.
Yeah.
Tony Romo completed a wire-to-wire victory on Sunday in the America's Century Championship. That's his second straight victory in the celebrity tournament at Edgewood Tahoe Golf Course. Former Dallas Cowboy quarterback and current CBS analyst closed with a 2-over par 74, scored 20 points to finish at 71. Remember, they play in that modified Stableford scoring system.
Yeah.
Mark Mulder, who won it a couple of years, he was 10 shots back. Or 10 points back, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And remember, all this is money that's donated to charity. The first place purse was $125,000, and it goes to Stowers Institute for Medical Research.
That's Tony Romo's choice. Tony said, it was an honor to play in this tournament. I came in with confidence, and this is one of the best golfs I've ever played in the last few weeks. When I won last year, every shot mattered. This year, it was a little easier. That's why we practice so much. And I will tell you that now that he's an analyst, he's probably got more time and attention and focus towards golf, and that's why you saw a 10-point lead on the final day in this thing. He could probably dominate all these. He's just that good a golfer.
Yeah. You know who –
And he's that good of an analyst.
You know who's actually a really good golfer I was watching is Justin Timberlake. He was in this thing, and he was dropping dimes.
So is it athletes and performers?
Athletes, entertainers.
Is this the one that – Marilyn Manson, or no.
Alice Cooper
played in for
I think, I'm sure Alice played in this before. I'm sure his game isn't quite to where he wants it now because Alice is old, man. He's like 70-something.
You think he's in his 70s?
Easy.
Wow. Well, I think Tony Romo's such a pure athlete.
Yeah. And for a guy who plays as much golf as he does, Charles Barkley is really bad.
He's terrible. How good is Timberlake? Do you remember?
I didn't see where his score was. Hold on. I'll pull
it. But you watched through.
I watched a lot of him on Saturday.
A few holes.
Yeah.
And he's kind of dialed in, huh?
Oh, yeah. Good form. Good swing.
He comes across that way. Kind of a limber, scrappy athlete. It's weird with golf. Golf is all about leverage. I told you I went out and golfed with a 13-year-old kid. I don't remember, 13 or 14 phenom. And he was driving it 280.
Stop it.
13. He's driving a 280. I want to say that he shot from the white tees, he shot at 81 or at 82.
Timberlake finished 38th, by the way. Which, thought he'd be a little bit better than that, but not bad. Mark Mulder, as we mentioned, second. Marty Fish, third. Derek Lowe, fourth. Jack Wagner, fifth. Case Keenum, apparently should have spent a little bit more time on the football field instead of playing golf.
Golf.
Finished sixth.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was seventh. But that's Del Curry, his dad, ended up finished tied for 15th. Patrick Peterson's got a really nice swing. Plays for the Cardinals. He's only been playing the game for 3 years.
Del Curry finished 15th?
Yeah.
Del's got to be in his 60s.
Yeah, Del's up there.
Or late 50s.
Yeah.
Early 60s. Wow.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Everybody knows Bob Gibson, right, Scotty?
Sure.
Hall of Fame right-hander. Spent his entire career with the Cardinals. It was announced today that he's battling pancreatic cancer. He was diagnosed with it a couple of weeks ago and visited doctors at the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore and was hospitalized at that point in Omaha, Nebraska. Has been for the last couple of weeks. He's turning 84 in November. So Bob Gibson with pancreatic cancer at age 84. And you know that pancreatic cancer is the big one.
Yeah.
That's the low percentage one. That's the one that's really tough to come back from. They are going to start chemo treatments. So, you know, they're not just waving a white flag and calling it quits. They're going to start chemo treatments and see if they can get the cancer to react to any of this. But Bob was an 8-time All-Star, won the Cy Young Award twice in 1968 and 1970. 2-time World Series champion, dominant in the postseason, 7-2 in 9 World Series starts. Named to the World Series MVP for both the years where the Cardinals won it. That was 64 and 67. He is baseball.
Yeah,
he is. You know, everybody knows the name Bob Gibson.
Yep.
Even me, not a baseball guy.
He may not be a baseball guy, but you know Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
100%. Oh, man, that sucks. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, ugly situation here. One of the greatest boxers in history, Pernell Whitaker, longtime pound-for-pound king, and, again, one of the best that ever stepped into the ring, killed Sunday night when he was hit by a car in Virginia Beach. He was 55 years old. Was apparently hit by a vehicle around 10 o'clock when he was walking at an intersection. When officers arrived on the scene, they located an adult male victim who had been hit by a vehicle. The victim succumbed to his injuries on the scene. The driver of the vehicle remained on the scene with police. Remember, this guy inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 06.
This guy was unbelievable.
Won world titles in four weight classes, undisputed lightweight, world champion. Also won titles of the junior welterweight, junior middleweight. As a dominant force in the 80s and 90s, he won gold medal in the 84 Olympics. He was overall 44-1 with 17 knockouts.
Yeah, and by the way, you named the four losses. If you go back, because I watched this guy most of his career. I love this guy as a boxer. His nickname was Sweet Pea.
Yeah,
and he would fight anybody anywhere. And two of the losses came really late in his career. And I would say that only two of the four were actually legitimate losses. This guy was an incredible boxer. He was a boxing defender before Mayweather was a boxing defender. He was the prototypical slip-a-shot type boxer. Amazing head movement, great lowered hips. Nobody could land a square shot on this guy. He could avoid any throw. Any type of punch he could avoid, and he was in his prime when I was in my prime boxing, when I loved boxing, and this breaks my heart. Killed by a driver while in an intersection. We have not gotten any toxicology, or there are no reports from the individual that hit him while in the crosswalk, but I'm sure all that will.
Yeah.
Because the guy stayed. He remained on the scene. He didn't try to flee.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Good, the Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Zero Res right here on the Zone Sports Network. A little whole world news coming up next, live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket in Murray, 5701 South State Street. Come by, hang out right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Brian T. Smith, sports columnist for the Houston Chronicle. How do you rank teams in the West right now?
I don't think you can rank the rest right now. We don't know anything about the Lakers. LeBron James and Anthony Davis have not played together. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and the Clippers, that looks really interesting on paper. There are also reports that Paul George might miss the start of the season. I love everything that the Jazz have done. They answered some huge questions on paper. The Rocket, James Harden and Russell Westbrook. It's a Hollywood blockbuster three-part miniseries, and we have no idea how it's going to play out. I don't think you can at all say that anyone is a true favorite in the West right now.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Whole World News.
Okay, I'm not going to give you the area.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the story.
And then I check where it's at.
Yeah, so you can. Well, no, you can tell
or
me
then
what,
I guess
what
where
story.
It's at.
What story do you want to go?
Can
with?
I guess right now?
Yeah,
Florida.
One, yes, Florida is one. Rabies would have been what I would have said, and you would have guessed Florida.
Yeah.
The other one is cow dung powder. Cow dung powder.
International or
international?
India.
Wow, that's really good. It is India. Okay, so do you want to do rabies in Florida, or do you want to do cow dung powder in India?
Yes, both.
Both. Can you, Lloyd, I don't know if somebody can figure out what cow dung powder is used for.
But nothing. Nobody uses cow dung powder.
I didn't think so, but six kids thought it was turmeric powder, like a flavoring, and so they put it in their food.
Oh.
That happened just this morning. They were consuming the food age between 5 and 13. They're residents of the Thirlvar Nagar in Somnyar village near China Thagdam.
Sorry.
I did my best.
Yeah, no, it was a valiant effort.
Within just a couple of minutes of consuming this food that had the cow dung powder in it, they started vomiting. They passed out. They were rushed to the Commodore Medical College Hospital. Sources said that the children, five girls and one boy, were playing on Sunday when they mistook the cow dung for turmeric powder and accidentally added it to the food, prepared with little quantities of rice and vegetables. Happened at 9:30 p.m., and they were rushed to the hospital early Monday morning. Says just a few minutes after the food, they started vomiting. By the way, did you find any reason for it?
No.
You read the doctor's advice?
Aaron, no, you read the advice. I'll see if I can find a use for this stuff.
Okay, so here's doctor's advice coming off the story. The doctor said in the situation said, yellow cow dung powder is a poison if consumed. Parents should be aware of the harmful effects of the powder. If a child consumes cow dung powder, he will vomit multiple times and his skin will turn yellow. These kids' skin turned almost like a bright, I don't know, like a dandelion flower yellow.
So you would use it much like you would anticipate it being used. Where it is often used as fertilizer, mixed with fertilizer. However, most of villagers in India spray fresh cow dung powder mixed with water in front of their houses to repel insects. So you take some of this powder, mix it with water, spray it in front of your house.
Who the hell put it where the turmeric powder is supposed to be?
That's a great question. I don't know. I'm not even...
It looks similar.
You got yellow cow dung powder and... Boom.
That'd be like taking I don't know, what's a classic dishwasher powder and putting it next to the sugar or the salt.
I'm with you. Like, hey, where did those
you put Biz next to the sugar or salt?
Where did that OxyClean go to? Oh, it's, you mean the salt? No, Oxy. You're like, oh no, what have I done?
You don't put that stuff next to possible plus, like food ingredients.
You put that little sticker of the skeleton on it that the poison department gives you.
We used to have Mr. Yucks.
Yeah, that's it, Mr. Yucks.
The green sticker with the smile, the frowny face was where the tongue go there.
Yeah.
Mr. Yucks. Bad situation. The kids are going to make a full recovery, though.
That's good news.
Do you want to do the Florida story or save it for tomorrow?
Yeah, we got time. It's not like we have a guest or anything next.
There was a, that means to take the break. We better take the break.
No, I was just joking. Lloyd, don't be mad. That was just a joke.
The Florida Department of Health in Orange County has issued a 60-day rabies alert for a two-mile radius that includes part of Walt Disney World's Epcot Park. A feral cat in the area tested positive for rabies. What happened was there were a couple of workers that were trying to handle this cat. It scratched them out of ferocity, lost its mind, and it was seething all this white stuff out of its mouth, and it scratched these
dudes. You got an old yeller, that thing.
They got a hold of it. They tested it, and sure enough, it had rabies. Well, they think that it's passed rabies on to, in fact, I'll name the animals that you've got to look out for if you're at the Epcot Center. Skunks, raccoons, foxes, otters, bobcats, and coyotes. All those. If you see them at Epcot Center, leave them alone. Don't touch them.
Well, if you see a coyote next to you while you're waiting for a line at the Epcot Center, maybe that's a problem. You'd be like, ooh, maybe I should step away from this ride I want to go on.
Why is there a bobcat in this
line? There a bobcat? Epcot Center's fun. I'm sure bobcats want to be there. Stay away from them.
If you see them, get away.
Don't do it.
Skunks as well. Foxes, raccoons, otters.
What kind of place are they running down there at the Epcot Center? They're like, hey, by the way, like, that should just be a normal warning anyway. Like, if you see a skunk or a bobcat or a coyote at the Epcot Center, stay away from it. It may have rabies. And then also, like, hey, if you see any of these at the Epcot Center, you probably should just stay away anyway because it's the Epcot Center. They shouldn't be in there.
You know what the Epcot Center released? They said, and this was an actual release, they said, do not be afraid to pose with the Disney characters that are animals. Those versions of the woodland creatures don't have rabies. So they're, you know, the Disney characters,
yeah,
the guys that are dressed up like Goofy. And
it seems like it's a really bad idea. They really need to just get Treebird down there, shut down the park for a day or two, and he'll take care of it.
Get him a tree stand on the Epcot Center.
Just make sure you don't have somebody in costume walking around.
Chippendale?
Yeah, Chippendale. Ain't nothing rescuing them.
Have Goofy out there with Pluto. Goofy and Pluto, they're not going to make it. It's a scary situation at the Epcot
Treebird
Center.
He's in a roller coaster as a
Rescue
stand.
Rangers joke. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers joke, really?
Who's on the Velocicoaster? What is he doing up there? Yeah, I did make a reference to Rescue Rangers.
It's a great show.
It's a very good show. And this is a very great dealership. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, Scotty. LHMUsedCars.com. Start your shopping before you go out and do your shopping. And we've mentioned multiple times, we want you to get in and meet the managers at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. These are great men. These are my friends. These are guys that have been trained to help our listeners. You have a friend directly in the business. Go straight to the manager. Ask the salesperson that greets you, I'd like to meet your manager and talk to them. And then ask them about the We Pay Half, You Pay Half promotion. You buy any one of our vehicles, we pay half for a year, you pay half for a year. And nobody's going to beat the selection. Number one in inventory. And really, it's just number one in customer care. You know, if you're looking for parts and service department, you need oil changes, parts. You're part of the family. You're part of the dealership. We take great care of our people. I love my crew here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Give them a try next time you're in the market for a new car. That's LHMUsedCars.com.